Well, hello, friends and fellow believers, and I'm so glad that you're joining with us again today. We're going to be continuing in our second session on Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say, and we're going to see we have much to say. Today, we're going to be looking at the blessing at work, but we're going to be looking at it before the cross. And I think this is important because, as we saw last week, we have been made heirs, sons, and heirs of Abraham. So we want to see how the blessing worked in his life. And then we can infer from that exactly what we ought to be receiving today. So let's pray and we'll jump into today's session. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for being willing to give us your Son so that we might be redeemed in his precious blood. And so today, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to take liberty with us to teach us. We open our hearts to you to learn those things that we need to know so that we can move forward on our journey to walk in the fullness of this blessing which you've placed upon us. And it's with great joy and great thanksgiving that we say amen and amen. So last week we talked about the fact that I have been redeemed. Now I'm going to review maybe just a tad longer than we normally do because we want to go over this. So if you missed last week, while I would encourage you to look at it, you're going to get a good idea of exactly what we said. We started in Psalm 107 verse 2, a familiar verse. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary." So there's the phrase, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say," and we joked about how some people just say "so" sometime and kind of laugh it off, but there's so much more that we need to infer. We also don't want to overlook the second part, because we've been redeemed from the hand of the one who opposes us, our adversary, just as happened with the children of Israel. Now, the word "say" in the Hebrew means to publish, to declare, to command, and it even means challenge or demand. But it is a putting forth, you're going to see, of something from our lips that really makes a difference. And as I said, we have so much to say as the redeemed. And what did Jesus really show us? He showed us by speaking is how the kingdom actually works. So we are just doing what the kingdom does that we've been brought into here on this earth today. And we began our pursuit of this journey in Galatians 3. So we looked at a number of verses. I'm just going to pull a few of them out for time's sake today. But Galatians 3, verses 6 and 7. "Even so, Abraham believed God. That was the basis of his righteousness, as this next phrase tells us. And it was reckoned to him, or imputed to him, or credited to his account, as righteousness." So he didn't earn anything. And then Scripture tells us, "Therefore be sure," encouraging us to know what we have, "that it is those who are of faith," that's you and I, "who are the sons of Abraham." So by believing, we've been brought into this relationship with Abraham as his son. We see that validated in verses 25 through 29. And let me note two of them. Verse 26. It tells us that we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, angels don't understand that. They look at us, they looked at man when he was created and said, "What is man that you're so mindful of him, that you care so much about him, that you want a fellowship with him?" And then verse 29 follows up that and says, "And if you belong to Christ," which we do, "then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise." So I would say it this way, what Abraham benefited from, you and I get that same benefit today as what? His sons and as his heirs. And that promise is so important. We're going to see more about that. Verse 8 says, "In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith." Now, literally, that's talking about heathens. And that's what you and I were, really, before we knew Jesus. Now, we may not like to say that word, and Gentile sounds better, but that's really the shape that we were in, no matter how good we thought we were. So he would foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, he preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. So Abraham heard the good news, and I would say he heard the good news of what Jesus was coming to do. And what was that? because he said to him, in you all nations shall be blessed. Now, that's what we see as the gospel, is that good news. But what was considered the gospel in this exact phrase? All nations should be blessed in you. So then we can infer from that that the gospel does include the blessings that we're beginning to talk about and we're going to spend more time on today. Verse 9 goes on and says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. So we can just say, I am blessed with Abraham the believer. And we said this some last week, and I hope that you continue to declare that over yourself to build your confidence in what we have. Now, what does being blessed mean to most people? Well, unfortunately, it's a response after a sneeze to most. And if we as Christians are honest with each other, a lot of times we just say, bless you. But I don't think we really fully appreciate the power behind what we're saying. And so if we don't have revelation of it and it's not spoken in faith concerning it, then it's not going to produce. That's why I believe the Lord wants us to awaken to this in this time. Now, we must understand that God's word, his spoken word, when he put it forth, contains power to bring about what he says. We saw that in what? Creation. Light be. And Young's literal says, light is still today. Blessed here in the Hebrew means to prosper or empowered to prosper. And I would say in every way of our life, in our spirit, certainly we have, in our soul, we can as we renew our mind, and in our body as well. Now in verse 13 and 14, which really are the two, what I would term totally anchor verses here, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So if Christ redeemed us, then we cannot say that we're not valuable to the Lord. He paid such a high price, as we saw last week, in the blood of Jesus. A big price was paid. The word redeemed here means literally to buy or to purchase, or you could even say to buy back. But in the way it's used, it has another strong implication. To buy back with an eye toward what? Setting one free. Putting one in, or delivering one from the oppression that they've been held under as a slave. And you know what? That's equally true with us today. That's exactly what Jesus did. Now, for us, we see in this verse that it involves redemption from the curse of the law. And that's where we're really heading, because that's where we're going to learn how to use this in kingdom ways so that we can negate all these things that the devil tries to put upon us. Now, again, that word redemption means a setting free, a total setting free. And we asked a question here at this point. If the curse was a punishment for disobedience, and you and me, we've been made righteous, then would it be just for God to put that curse upon us? And the answer is absolutely no. It is not right in God's eyes for the just, for the righteous, to be cursed. In other words, to be punished for disobedience. Because what? Who took our punishment? Jesus did on the cross. And if he was punished, we should not be. Now let's go to verse 14. Verse 14, let me just pick up with 13. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, in our position in him, the blessing of Abraham, that blessing that we saw is tied to the gospel, that blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, to you and to me, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. As we close today, I hope we get to the point where you're going to see some importance of that last statement, the promise of the Spirit, and how do we do it? Through faith. We do it as righteous individuals, as Abraham's heirs, as joint heirs with Jesus. In other words, we get the blessing, not the curse. Jesus took it for us. We asked the question last week as we closed, why? And it's all because of the love of God, as we saw in Deuteronomy 23, verse 5, where it says, "The Lord turned a curse into a blessing for His people." And for you and I, this is a completed act. Now, what we're going to be studying, and the reason we're studying what we're about to look at today, is so that we can begin to develop faith to receive what is available for us in this blessing. Just because it's already done does not mean that you and I can walk in it, or will walk in it, would be a more appropriate thing to say. If we don't believe it and act upon it, then we will be walking without such power that was made available toward us through the blessing here, the words of God that were spoken. So today, let's just take a few moments, as we have time today, and look at the blessing at work. So what I'm saying is, we're going to be looking at the words God spoke, the words of blessing that He spoke, and see how those words produced in the lives first of Abraham, because that's the one who we have been made heirs with. And then we're going to look at the children of Israel. So we're looking at all this, the works of the blessing before Jesus went to the cross and was raised from dead from it. So starting with Abraham. Now, I need to just remind you, with Abraham, how was he made righteous? It was not by his works. It was not by the law. The law had not been given. And you're going to see, he received a word from God, and he obeyed the word from God. He obeyed it because he believed it, and in doing that, he was made righteous by faith in the words of the Lord. So, promises and the covenant, based on believing, based on acting, is how Abram walked in these words. And let me say, both are necessary. You know, it's really interesting because there are scriptures that talk about how we need to be careful how we hear and what we hear. And the word "hear" really implies you hear it, and it means hearing intelligently, which implies we act on it. So let's look at Abraham, or Abram, in Genesis 12, and we're going to read the first four verses, and then we'll come back and talk to him. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so shall you be a blessing.'" Then verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now that's what we saw previously in Galatians 3, isn't it? And then verse 4 says, "So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him." And then it goes on and tells us that Lot went with him and tells us how old he was. So let me start with verse 4, because you've seen he was told to go forth. Abram went forth. He was obedient to those words. But I want to tell you, you see that he took Lot. And he was told to go from his country and away from his what? His relatives. So he was not supposed to have taken. I want you to enter into this understanding that Abraham did not behave perfectly according to the word of God. But because he believed God and attempted to walk in what he had told him, then what? It was accounted to him as righteousness, and he was blessed. In other words, it didn't hold back on the blessing that had been spoken. Now, verse 1, we saw, "Go forth from your family and from your country." To me, this is like he's been removed. I won't say the word redeemed, but he's been taken out of an area where the dominion of the devil was strong. There was very strong paganistic views there. And he was taken out, and he got the opportunity to be set free and blessed as he went, acknowledging and believing God and growing in a knowledge of God. I would say knowing and experiencing God. And that is so important. We're not just separated from the past here, from the sin, from the dominion of the devil, but we're separated from that and separated or consecrated, set apart to God as well. That's exactly what happened to Abram. Now in verse 2, I want you to look at these four things that he said. First of all, he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. So there's increase coming. And what do we know about the kingdom? It's the kingdom of Jesus is continual increase. The second thing he said is, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to empower you to prosper. And we're going to see Abram prospered in his spirit, in his soul, and in his body. Again, not being a born-again person, but about as close as you could get in that day. The third thing he told him was, I'm going to make your name great. Now, that literally means honor and wealth. It's the same term that was used about Job, actually, him being great in the land. And then the last thing he told him was, I'm going to make you a blessing. Now, we like to focus on the being blessed part, but I want to tell you, for Abraham, for you and for me, being a blessing is most important. That is who we are to be as Christians, because we don't have the lineage of Jesus coming through us to others, but we do have Jesus in us being made available to others as we proclaim who we are. Now, I want you to remember that we are an heir to each of these four things, to increase, to blessing, to having our name great. Listen, you say, well, how is my name great? God knows your name. I don't know how it could be any greater than just to say that. And then the fourth thing is for us to be that blessing that the Lord wants us to be. So we're blessed in each of these areas, and I would say in our spirit and physically, just as Abram was. Again, they're available to us if we choose to walk in them. Now, I want to say up front, because we've already talked about the financial part of it, being blessed financially is not about a number. It's not about how much, but it's about having a sufficiency to do everything the Lord told you or tells you to do, and then have some left over. Really, that's what 2 Corinthians 9:8 tells us. I think that's a great scripture that defines spiritual prosperity that includes the monetary part, having some left over after our needs are met so that we can do the things that the Lord has instructed us to do. And then in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those. The promise for us here is that the blessing spoken, it was essential for us to have in our redemption. We could not have that last phrase of, in you, all nations will be blessed. In other words, this blessing will extend to all people because of you. And so what do we know? From there, he went forth. And we're going to hear much more about that today. Now, let's go to Genesis verses 16 and 17 of this same chapter. Genesis 12, 16 and 17. Now, right after this, Abram went to Canaan. There was a famine in the land. Again, he wasn't perfect because he left and went to Egypt. And you're going to see there he wasn't perfect. But you're going to see the blessing was still upon him. Now, what happened was, Abram's wife was a beautiful woman, and that beauty that she had made him fear for his life that they would kill him and take her. So he began to tell him when he got to Egypt that this was his what? His sister. And so Pharaoh's people took him into Pharaoh's house, and then things did not go well for Pharaoh. So verse 16 then. Therefore, he treated Abram well for her sake. This is because he'd been taken in, she'd been taken into his house. And gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and males and female servants and female donkeys and camels. Wow. He really blessed him abundantly. But then verse 17 says, but the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah and Abram's wife. And then the king comes to him, and Pharaoh comes to him and says, what have you done to me? Now, what would you expect? Him to take all those things he get back? No, he didn't. He sent him on his way. Now, notice who was protected. Who was, and I'm going to use the word kept. Who was kept from evil coming upon him? Abram was. This is part of our redemption. This is part of what we've inherited for today. And you're going to continue to see this being kept as part of the blessing. And I believe with all my heart, that's one reason we're studying it today in these turbulent times, because you need to know as we walk with Jesus, you're going to be kept just as we see Abram was here in this account. Now go to chapter 13, and let me just read verses 1 and 2 to show the impact of some of this. So Abram went from Egypt to Negev, and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot was still with him. And verse 2 says, now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Now, I would say that the Lord wanted people to take note so he could say, I can see that the Lord is with Abram. But he also had a job to do for the Lord, and he needed the finances to do it. And again, he's out of his own country. He's out of his own domain. So what do we see there? The blessing of the Lord was upon him, and we see the wealth of what I would term the wicked, the Pharaoh, turning it over to Abraham, just like Scripture tells us in Proverbs 12:22. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for who? The righteous. That also is something that we need to be beginning to believe for so that we finance the gospel in these last days. Now go to Genesis 15. And can you see the hand of the Lord already positioning him to accomplish what he's called him to do? Really gracing him with, as we talk about walking in that grace today. So in Genesis 15, we read these verses last week, but I want to read them again with an eye toward how the blessing is being spoken to Abram, and then we'll also see how you and I partake from it. So in verse 4, he says in Genesis 15, then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but the one who shall come forth from your own body shall be your heir. Now again, he was 75 years old when he's left, and years have gone by. As we saw last week, he took him outside and gave him a visual. Now look toward the heavens and count the stars. And we, as I said last week, I believe with all my heart that this is talking about the spiritual aspect of his posterity, not the small nation of Israel. Count the stars, and if you're able to count them, he said, so shall your descendants be. Again, we are on the mind of the Lord, even in this day. Abram then believed in the Lord, and he reckoned to him it righteousness. But I want us to read verse 7 today. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it. So this is important because this is continuing to bless him. He's prepared a land to receive his people. And saints, I do believe that was our calling here in this country. And we need as believers to step up and increase in doing it. So you were on God's mind through the stars. And in believing not works, Abraham received this blessing for you and I as well. And even received the land. Now in Genesis 17, the Lord comes to Abram and speaks a blessing over him. Let me read you verses 19 through 21. He says to him, "No, but Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants." So here he is receiving the blessing, not only from his body standpoint, which he was already able to conceive, but for Sarah. He received a physical miracle for her, in that she could give birth to a child at this point in time. So their bodies was impacted. And that result was Isaac was born. But I also want you to see, he says, "But I'm my covenant I will also establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear with you at this time next year." So I want you to see, on God's mind is the covenant, and the promise is not just to Abraham, but what did we see in Galatians? To his heirs. And that extends to you and I today. And then in the very next chapter, and I'm not going to read any verses, I just want to talk about it. I believe Jesus came with two angels, and this was when he was on the way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And what did Abram do? He invited him in. He took one of the best calves that he had, and he sacrificed it and prepared a meal with it. I almost see it as a covenant meal. And then the thing that I want you to note the most, though, is he desired fellowship with the Lord. That's part of the blessing we get. And he even had a chance to intercede for man, for the Lord not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So I want you to see, and don't want you to neglect, that part of the blessing that is upon us. Now, over in Genesis 19, the 29th verse says this, "Then it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley, that God remembered Abraham." It doesn't say God remembered Lot, does it? It says God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. Now, why is that important? Because that's part of the blessing we get today. Our righteousness has an impact on our family, on our posterity. And walking in that blessing with an awareness of it, again, just enhances this concept of how we, as his people, are kept. Now, in Genesis 20, he goes to Abimelech's area and again tells another lie, same kind of reasoning, about Sarah being his sister. And this is just before Isaac is born. And there are two blessings that come to him, even though he's done that. Look at verse 14 and 15. Abimelech has found out that she's his wife, not his sister, even though he says she's my half-sister. And this is what Abimelech does. He took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham and restored his wife Sarah to him. And Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is before you. Settle wherever you please." So here he is being blessed by the one that he had deceived, the favor of the Lord at work. Now, it goes on to tell us in verse 17 that he also had the ability, by the blessing being upon him, to do what? To intercede for Abimelech. And this is really the first account of healing in Scripture. So it says to me that healing is part of the blessing. So look at this. Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maid so that they bore him children. Wow. What an amazing story. Now, for time's sake, I want to skip through two things, so I'm not going to read Scripture. But do you remember that Isaac was blessed? And I want you to note that because Isaac was his heir. And Abraham said this will be extended to Isaac. Do you remember Isaac became very wealthy and exceedingly wealthy during a famine? And you remember how the Philistines filled up the wells? But every time they did, what happened? They found more water. Why do you believe that was? Because of the blessing. What did Abimelech and the captain of his armies and one other guy come to him and say, "We plainly see that God is with you." In other words, we see the blessing of the Lord upon you. Think about Joseph in Potiphar's house, then in jail, then as the number two guy in Egypt. And in Potiphar's house and in the jail, what does it say? We see that the Lord is with you because of the way that you're able to take things and bless us. So he was able to bless that house because what? Because he was blessed. And I would really tell you, I believe Egypt prospered during this time because Joseph had that blessing on him. And that's when Egypt really became such a great and a strong nation, even though, as we're about to see, they went overboard. They enslaved God's people and thus the redemption. So, after 400 years of captivity, Exodus 1:7, the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. What does that sound like? Blessing. And they multiplied and they became exceedingly mighty so that the land was filled with them. And this is actually the blessing that God spoke to Adam when he was created, because it was his perfect will for man for all time, not just in the garden. Now, when the Passover came, and we won't go into that account, but you know that each family had a lamb, they sacrificed it, they applied the blood to the door, all types of what we have today in our redemptive work. And they were redeemed by the Lord and set free. And listen to verse 34 of chapter 12. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, and their kneading bowls bound up with the clothes on their shoulders, so they were in a hurry. And now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor, part of the blessing, in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have their request, and thus they plundered the Egyptians. Now you may say, well, why did they need that out in the wilderness? Well, I think a lot of that was used in building the Ark of the Covenant. In doing so then, and a way to acknowledge and have God there in their presence. So how did they leave? After all those years of being oppressed, of working too hard, greatly afflicted, what does Psalm 105:37-38 say? He brought them out with silver and gold, and among his tribes there was not one who stumbled. And Egypt was glad when they departed, for the dread of them had fallen upon them all. So they left with wealth, with health, with freedom, and with soul prosperity, in other words, great joy. They were separated from their afflictor, and they were separated to their God. What was the first thing that God did after he had separated them from Egypt? He placed himself with the cloud, or in the light by night, the cloud to keep them cool, the fire to create warmth and heat for them. He put his very presence with them as soon as he separated them to himself. Does that sound like a prophetic picture of what you and I have today? Absolutely it does. Now, if that's the case then, why should we not expect all of the other things we're seeing happen with them for you and I today? For God to cause us to walk and to prosper in every aspect, spirit, soul, and body. But I want to tell you there's more. And we're not going to get to the very last part today, I don't believe. But I want to cover these two items with you. Deuteronomy 29:5 says, "For 40 years God led you through the desert, and your clothes and your sandals never wore out." He tells them in Deuteronomy 8:4, reminding them of how he blessed them, "Your clothing did not wear out, nor did your feet swell in these 40 years. Kept by his power." Now, the last one that I want to go over with you today is what I believe is one of the most powerful ones that we see. And it comes from Leviticus 25, verses 18 through 22. And this is his instruction for how they're to live in Canaan land when they get there, while they're wandering, and what he's going to do for them. Listen to this. "You shall observe my statutes and keep my judgment so as to carry them out, so that you may live securely on the land. That's a blessing, isn't it, to be able to live without fear of being overrun? Then he says in verse 19, the land will yield its produce so that you can eat your fill and live securely on it. So provision as well as security. But if you say, well, what are we going to eat the seventh year if we do not sow our crops? Now, the Lord had told them the land was to rest every seventh year. And this is what would be a natural question. Look at 21 and what he tells them. Then I will order my blessing for you. In other words, I'm going to speak this blessing and put it into play now. And here's what he said. In the sixth year, when they planted crops, it will bring forth the crop to last you for 3 years. And when you are sowing in the eighth year, you can still eat the old things from the crop, eating the old until the ninth year when its crops comes in. 3 years of an abundance, of a great bounty. God spoke and he called it my blessing that I'm releasing to you. Powerful promises that God has. Do we think that he's any less powerful today? Do we think that he wants to do less for you and I today? God's words of blessing, these promises are filled with power. And I want to take a minute and I want to go on and finish what I had put in the notes for you today because I think it's very important. So pardon me for going a little long here. But what's changed today with his blessing? Nothing. His power hasn't been diminished. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why can't we not walk in these magnificent acts of power today? Galatians 3:14. And really what we're talking about is building our faith in the blessing to be active. Galatians 3:14 says, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to you and to me, the Gentiles, so that we might receive, and here's a phrase I want you to focus on, the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, I've taught you before, the epitome of grace is that he was willing to put himself, his spirit, into you and I, into this flesh, imperfect vessel. But he made a temple there for himself. We created something all new for you and me. That's why we are a new creation, something never before existing. But here's what I want you to see. How do we begin to build faith? Who do we look to? What do we look to? How do we grow so that we can increase in having faith for these blessings to operate? Look at 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I'm going to read you two verses and we'll conclude. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, might I say that in your born-again spirit, the Spirit of God is also there in union with you. And then we get to verse 12. And here's the approach we need to take to open our heart up to the Holy Spirit. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, his own Spirit. And listen to these words, that we might know. So we've received the Spirit so that we might know something. And what is that something? These things that have been freely given to us by God. So if we will just read his word, allow the Holy Spirit to work, to minister it to us, to make it come alive, to reveal it as we mutter it, as we say it, as we speak it, and then it becomes active. Then that's how, just as we're studying today, we're going to be able to increase in the knowledge of the blessing and walk more fully in it. Dependent on our coach, dependent on Holy Spirit in our lives, revealing to us the heart of God for you and me. And saints, we've seen a lot of that today as we looked at what he did for his people before the law, and even in the law, for the children of Israel. Thank you for joining with us today. Think about these things. Meditate on them, because I am convinced the Lord wants us to walk more fully in His blessing so that we can be blessed to be that blessing.